Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's 8 o'clock. So congratulations to Archie, and most importantly to Dr. Jeff, because he doesn't have to think about having to give him up. So that's wonderful. Welcome to the Empower Hour. We will, we're blessed, absolutely incredibly blessed that Dr. Jean Hovey was able to join us, because she's on a trip to a funeral, actually, of one of our authors of wonderful pet health books, some written by herself and some along with Dr. Hovey. So Celeste Yarnell died recently after years of battling cancer. And so Jean is on her way there to the funeral. Funeral or memorial, Dr. Jean? Is it actually the funeral?
She wrote in her email that she was helping out the family, but I don't know. Yep.
And so I've known Dr. Jean Hovey for, 25 years, probably 20 years. And she has a wonderful website that I've recommended before that you've heard me recommend. And I love the name of it, littlebigcat.com. And it is not limited to all things feline by any means. She also is the founder of Spirit Essences, which is now called the Jackson Galaxy Essences, but she still has control over the product. And she has many wonderful stories to tell about making the flower essences. And I didn't do my research, so we will let her tell you of the food investigative research organization that she worked at in California, but I forget the name of it. So she is an expert in the area of food, and she sits on and attends many of the political, regulatory meetings on food. So she is really an expert on that, and I am tickled pink to have her here. Let's see if we can hear her.
Can you hear her? Can you hear us, Dr. Jean? Hello, hello, hello. We can see her, but
we can't hear you, Jean.
I don't know if she's able to hear us either.
Yeah, it didn't look like she was hearing what I said.
I think she's going to try to disconnect it. Anyway, our topic for tonight is the connection between some of the grain-free diets, and actually it's diets in general, and a disease called dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a heart disease. It can occur in any dog, but is genetically...
Hi, Jean. We see you.
Okay, anyway, genetically and breed related, there's some association, but it could be any breed. The connection is between the sulfur containing amino acids, methionine, and cysteine, which the body uses to produce taurine. And the question is, why some individuals, again, we're bringing in the individuality of our patients, of all your dogs, why some are predisposed to or are coming down with this, in some cases fatal, but very treatable, heart disease. And Dr. Jean will try to call in on her cell phone, okay. We'll see if that works.
Jeff, Christina, are you there?
We're here. We hear you just fine.
I'm in Salina, Utah. It's a real garden spot, let me tell you.
All right. Thanks so much for coming, Dr. Jean. Were you able to hear Dr. Christina's introduction, or
no? I just now got it to work. So
no, we can't hear Dr. Christina. Are you muted? Oh, wait. Yep. Unmute. Okay. Oh.
I muted myself while I was talking to Dr. Jean.
So, okay. Here we are. We're all together.
So I mentioned, but forgot the name of the organization you worked for in California and San Francisco around food, but I gave you a workup. I gave you a talked about your website and the work you do with food organizations. And
okay, it was called the Animal Protection Institute, but they are no longer in existence. It has converted into an outfit called Born Free USA, and they don't do anything with pets anymore.
Okay,
just wildlife and circus and rodeo and stuff like that.
Well, tell us what we need to know about what's going on with processed foods and heart disease and taurine.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. Well, let's start real simple with carbs and pet food. Dogs, cats, and humans have zero physiologic need for carbohydrate. So any carbohydrate they get is unnecessary calories. Now, having said that, you know, if you have a herd of Newfoundlands, you may not be able to feed them all, you know, fresh elk and stuff like that. So, you know, there are realities that we deal with, and commercial pet food is a good option for a lot of people. I do get a little antsy about the whole grain-free thing, because it isn't what you think it is. Grain-free is not all it's cracked up to be. It is, in most cases, not any higher in protein and not any lower in carbohydrate. And, you know, if you ask me, white potatoes are no better, if not a little worse, than, you know, some grains, as long as they're not genetically modified, of course. But, you know, the grain-free craze is so big and so strong that, you know, even the big dog food, cat food places have gotten in on the act. You know, Hills, Purina, Mars, they all have their own natural or grain-free lines, or they have bought up all the smaller ones that we used to be able to trust. So now pretty much you kind of can't trust anybody, but what seems to be happening now, it's kind of reminiscent of what happened in the 80s when the big pet food companies, I can name names, it was Health Science Diet at the time, cats were dying. Tens of thousands of cats died because at some point there became an imbalance with not enough meat and substituting grain protein for meat protein, and cats could not survive that. And now we've gone and tipped over the scale on dogs too, which is really bad because dogs are much more metabolically flexible and they can do much better with a wide variety of foods. You know, they're carnivorous, but they're facultative omnivores or opportunistic omnivores. They can derive nutrition from practically anything. But now with the, and I think the FDA has really jumped the gun on this and put blame where it does not belong. But they have made an announcement that grain-free pet foods made by small boutique manufacturers, by which apparently they mean Mars, Purina, and Hill's, because those are the diets implicated. When Purina became a boutique, I do not know. But the grain-free diets are now causing taurine deficiency, cardiomyopathy in dogs. Now, even that sentence is a stretch because it may or may not have anything to do with taurine. They think it does, but the research is still out. Dogs make their own taurine, unlike cats. They have to eat taurine, but dogs make their own from two other amino acids. And slow me down if I'm getting ahead or getting crazy here, but dogs should be able to make their own taurine from methionine and cysteine, which are very, very common in plant foods. so they really shouldn't be having a problem. But some breeds, and we have long known that some breeds, Newfoundlands and Cockers and Cavaliers and a few others, have a genetic predisposition to make taurine slower and not as much as other dogs. Those dogs need more of something, but we don't know for a fact yet that it is taurine that they need. Could be carnitine, which is also pretty absent in pet food. Could be that they need more methionine and cysteine. The AFCO requirements are obviously too low, and things are just going all haywire. But we're getting into the same problems that we had before with the QCATs because the manufacturers don't want to put meat in their products because it costs a lot of money. So as they substitute more and more grains, and what I'm seeing personally when I have done the research and I have looked at dozens and dozens of brands, and we can name names tonight if you want. I have a list. But it's the foods that have, you know, a meat, you know, like a, we'll just
yes,
pick
Jean,
on kangaroos.
You can, yeah. Jean, you can name names. That's fine.
Okay. I'll get to that, but let's proceed in a semi-orderly fashion. Kangaroo is one of the meats that they named, and kangaroo is a borderline taurine meat. Also, all ruminants are sort of borderline taurine. So bison, beef, lamb, venison. Those are all, they all have taurine, but not enough. And what I'm seeing, though, with the foods that are that have had the most reports against them is that they have, like, kangaroo and kangaroo meal at the top, which should be plenty of meat, but then they have 4 or 5 or 6 grain fractions or grain-free fractions. Like, they'll have potatoes and sweet potatoes and peas and pea starch and pea fiber and lentil protein, and, you know, they'll have a whole lot of plant things down on the list that I believe when you look at it in the aggregate, you're getting more plant protein than animal protein, and I think that is where the problem lies. But, you know, the research just isn't there yet. So some of the meats that FDA has implicated, like duck and salmon, are very high in taurine. So we are not getting the whole picture. We just aren't. And I want to mention that, you know, they've talked about potatoes, which includes sweet potatoes, by the way, but all kinds of potatoes and legumes, the pulse products. But barley, beet pulp, chickpeas, fava beans, lentils, peas, potatoes, rice bran, sweet potatoes, and tapioca have all at some point been associated with low taurine in dogs. Then we get into the little complication that some of the dogs getting cardiomyopathy and heart failure, they have normal taurine levels in their blood. They're perfectly normal. And some dogs with high taurine are getting cardiomyopathy, and some dogs with very low taurine are just fine. Their hearts are just fine. So it's a very, very, very complicated picture. So do you guys want to ask questions or say, throw anything in here at this point? And
I have not seen questions in the, well, one question in the chat room, Dr. Jean, is organ meats. What about, are the organ meats in kangaroo going to also be low, or do the organ?
There is not much taurine at all in organ meats. Heart, there's taurine, and muscle, there's taurine. But taurine is in the intercellular fluid, so it isn't actually even in the muscle cells. So if they grind up the meat and don't retain the juice, you lose all the taurine that was there. So, no, you're not going to get any taurine from the liver or the guts or anything in any kind of significant amount. So yeah, it's a conundrum. And, you know, at this point, I would, you know, I have always recommended feeding a wide variety of proteins and, you know, and mixers. And, you know, if you're using carbohydrates, which a lot of dogs actually do a little better with carbohydrates. Some dogs, German Shepherds are notable for having kind of hinky digestion. And so German Shepherd dogs sometimes do better with grains. So it kind of depends on your dog. And I guess what I would have to say at this point is, if I were feeding a dog, I would probably be going with a grain-free, but I would also be supplementing taurine and carnitine to boot, because those are the guys that are going to get you. And the problem with the cardiomyopathy is you don't necessarily know it's there until it's too late. That is the type of heart failure that I have, is dilated cardiomyopathy. Let me tell you, it's not fun. And so, you know, watch your dogs. What you'll see first is exercise intolerance. They'll get out of breath sooner. You know, they just won't have the stamina. They won't feel as good. You know, they'll try and they'll be happy like dogs are, but it's something to really keep an eye on. And the whole situation is in such terrible flux right now that, you know, it's very hard to make a recommendation about anything, because some of the foods on the list have grain and they're from the big manufacturers, and we're still seeing cardiomyopathy on dogs eating those foods.
So Dr. Jean, in terms of supplementing, you were saying just if you were feeding a grain-free food, you would need to supplement. If you're feeding a mixed variety of different protein sources, including heart meat and muscle meat, then you would not need to be supplementing?
You know, if I would say if you're feeding a good percentage of poultry, because that's where all the taurine is. Dark meat, chicken, ducks, dark meat, turkey. That's the highest in salmon and a couple of other fish, very high in taurine. So, you know, you want to be feeding a mix of everything, you know, if carbohydrate sources, protein sources, fat sources, everything. You know, it always kills me when they, you know, the commercials come on and they say, feed this food every day and never change. It's like, gee, that's a really good way to develop a food allergy or some other kind of problem. And now we're seeing it in real life coming up and smacking us in the head. So I would say that if you're feeding a good mix of poultry and other meats, and you're feeding your organs and you're supplementing correctly, you should not be having a problem with taurine, except if you have a dog of the breed, you know, if it's one of the breeds that is known to have a problem with taurine. And in general, big dogs are not as good at making taurine as little dogs. So your larger breeds is something you're going to want to watch really closely. And just, you know, keep track of them and make sure they're doing okay. I mean, this is such an oddball thing to come up, but I go back to, you know, they're not using enough meat in the products. And I think that's where we're getting into trouble, just like as usual, is if you don't put meat in a carnivore diet, you're going to run into a problem. You know what I mean?
So, Dr. Jean, that brings up another question. If you cook the meat, does that remove the taurine?
No. Taurine is extremely heat stable. The thing that loses the taurine is grinding the meat and letting the good juice go away. So if you're buying commercially ground meat, that juice is not retained, right?
So
if you're buying a pound of ground beef at the grocery store, yeah, I would supplement taurine, absolutely. If you're grinding your own and you're retaining the juice and you're a really conscientious raw feeder like that, I think you're fine. But taurine is cheap. It's easy to supplement. right now there's like a gigantic worldwide shortage of it, as you may imagine, because now Purina wants it all. You know, and goat foods are going to be supplemented pretty darn quick. Right now, all the vegan and vegetarian dog foods contain both taurine and carnitine because, you know, as much as they would like to make dogs vegan and vegetarian, which they are not, they know that they have to supplement those. But somehow that escaped the notice of the bigger companies.
Now, Dr. Jean, Francine said that she uses a product called ALNUTRIN, Alnutrin, in fresh, in raw chicken to make sure the liquid blood is mixed thoroughly with the meat. So she says, I also use Alnutrin in fresh raw chicken and make sure the liquid blood is mixed thoroughly with the meat. So are you familiar with Alnutrin?
I am not.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've heard of it. But here's, I'm glad you said it that way though, because, you know, when you see the meat juice, and that is not blood. Every animal that is slaughtered in the United States is blood out first, because that blood is valuable and they sell it separately. So blood meal for your garden, blood meal as a supplement for livestock. You know, the red juice you see is not blood. It's taurine and some other good enzymes and things that are leaking away. So, you know, unless you're slaughtering your own animals or just giving your cat a whole mouse, we can't commercially produce a mouse or an elk. You know, we can't. We do the best we can with what we have. And, you know, now that pet foods are getting ever more refined and specific, I think we're going to be seeing more of these kinds of deficiencies come up that nobody thought would ever happen. You know, but it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, as the commercial once said. And she knows best.
So a couple of more questions. Goat's milk, fermented goat's milk, do they have taurine? Cow's milk?
No, not to any significant extent. If you're going to supplement taurine, you need to supplement a lot of taurine. Okay.
And
there's a little bit in milk. There's a little bit here. There's a little bit there, but not a lot.
Can you over-supplement with taurine?
No.
That's what
there I are some. There are a few, one nutritionist that I know is all up in arms about, oh, you're going to overdose them on taurine. There is no, taurine has been fed at grams per day in rats. And, you know, they only weigh a couple hundred grams to start with. And for years, and they're fine. There are no ill effects from long-term taurine supplementation. I mean, if you're going to give 15 million grams a day, yeah, that might be a problem. But, you know, at a reasonable level, you cannot get into trouble with supplementing taurine. And I tell you, I believe that it's going to save a lot of heartbreak.
Literally heartbreak.
Yeah.
That was a good pun. And what about, are there specific brands? Do you have to watch out where your source of taurine or carnitine comes from?
It comes from China. You don't have a choice. What I have been told is that it's an environmentally devastating process and cannot be done in the U.S. It all comes, all the taurine comes from China. Not sure about carnitine. There are like two or three companies that make it, and no matter what brand label is slapped on it, it's all the same stuff. It's a crystalline. It's made in a lab. You know, I would prefer if there were a natural source. There's not a good one. But you know, it is a single amino acid, and it's not like vitamin C that's in a complex with other nutrients and phytonutrients and things like that. Taurine is just, it's its own little amino acid. And it's used very specifically in the body. It's used in bile to break down fat. Then this is another angle that we need to get to, so I'll say it now. Taurine is supposed to be reabsorbed in the colon from the bile acids that get, you know, they digest the fat, supposed to go down and get reabsorbed, most of it. And are our dogs not reabsorbing it? Is it because the wrong bacteria are there, or the bacterial population is wonky, or like cats? What they found was certain types of bacteria really like taurine and they steal it all. So in cat food, taurine has to be supplemented at double the rate as in dry food, because the bacteria can access the taurine easier and they steal it. So is this a probiotic issue? Is this a digestive issue? You know, this is a very sticky subject, because there's so many things that could be going on, and we just don't know.
Well, that's actually, Dr. Jean, a good question. Sue just raised the question, how does taurine like probiotics and prebiotics? So I wasn't clear by what you just said, if that means you want to have a good biotic flora in order to have your taurine stay, or you don't want to have a good biotic flora.
Well, I don't think anybody knows which bacteria are the ones that steal it. But I think if you have a balanced gut flora, I think that's going to stand you in good stead. I think it's when it gets out of balance, which I think in the cats was, you know, and especially because if they're fed commercial food, the bacteria are going to be kind of wrong anyway, you know. So I think it may be that the heat processed food is contributing to overgrowth of a bacteria that we don't even know which one, but it's something bad going on there. So I would absolutely, if I had a dog, and my dog is no longer with us, but you know, he was a good dog, good Willie. If Willie were still here, I'd be feeding him raw. I'd be feeding him grain free. I'd probably be giving him some sweet potatoes, and I would be giving him probiotics, and I'd be giving him taurine and carnitine.
So, Dr. Jean, even if you were feeding poultry, dark meat, and heart meat, you would still be supplementing?
Yeah, because I'm a chicken. I am a better safe than sorry kind of gal. And taurine is cheap, and you can't hurt them. So, yeah.
Well, but on the other hand, making taurine is bad for the environment. So at that point, I'm wondering, a person asked earlier if you could blood test for taurine.
You can. Mm-hmm. There are two tests for taurine. One is a simple blood test, and one is a plasma taurine level. And you really need to know both in order to have a full assessment of what is going on. I believe the blood taurine level you want to see is over 250.
In Golden, so that's what the UC Davis lab says, yeah. And that's...
And I think the plasma taurine is over, you need one at over 70, if I recall correctly.
And Christine was asking about Dr. Stearns or other people that say that. She said that taurine can actually cause, or non-natural source taurine can be a problem if they have heart disease.
No, I haven't heard that at all.
Neither at all.
Yeah,
I haven't either.
But he does say on the UC Davis webpage, and UC Davis, by the way, is doing most of the research.
Yes, yeah, they're actually the ones that kind of rang the alarm bells at FDA.
Right.
Ive, did you have a question?
I had a quick question about healthy powder that's recommended by Dr. Pitchcarrant. Does that have taurine in it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think what he recommends for cats, because they do need taurine, I think he recommends sardines or something. I know Strombeck recommends sardines. It's not enough taurine. It needs to be supplemented. We did a sort of an inadvertent experiment in our clinic with the Pitcairn's kitten formula, and my tech used the homemade formula, and I used the PetSmart, you know, Similac or whatever it is that's the kitty cat milk replacer, and my kitten grew twice the size as the Pitcairn kitten. Mm. So I have a kind of an issue with Pitcairn's advice, especially now that he believes that animals don't need meat at all. He thinks cats and dogs should be vegans.
Not cats. Cats, vegetarian, dogs, vegans. But okay. It's a fine line. Okay. Well, that's a fine line.
It is a fine line, yes.
So what about the taurine level again? You're saying that in fish, like in sardines and salmon, it's high, but not as high as it would be in dark poultry.
Well, it depends on the fish and if it's wild and if it's, you know, all that stuff gets in the way. Dark meat poultry, you're totally safe with. Like I said, salmon has been fingered as one of the problem foods, but all of the ones that I've seen is salmon and sweet potato and salmon and. So, you know, salmon is very high in taurine and it should not be on that list, but it is.
Okay. So it is. So salmon is high in taurine, but not the little fish. Yeah.
And well, I don't know the levels in every fish, and I'm sure that's easy to find out. But, you know, I don't know that a lot of people are feeding a ton of little sardines and stuff. But, you know, the fish meal that goes into the dog food, should be contributing some taurine, but evidently it's not enough. And I think, again, it's this whole, you know, messing with Mother Nature too much and trying to substitute things for expensive meat and get falling down the rabbit hole because you can't do that.
Do you have
a healthy carnivore.
Do you have any idea, Dr. Jean, how much they're charging for the plasma and the blood taurine level tests?
I do not. And I know that they're very, very, very backed up by weeks, if not months.
Okay. Yeah. And would you recommend doing that on a regular basis? Only if you have a dog who is genetically or breed susceptible, or like if you had a Cavalier King Charles, would taurine be something that you should be doing?
Yeah. But the reason that this particular thing has come up now is because it's breeds that are not prone to taurine deficiency that are developing this problem.
Right.
And again, we don't know it's from the taurine.
Right.
Because some of them have perfectly normal taurine levels. Most of the Goldens, the records that I've looked at, most of them are, their hearts are fine even if they have low taurine in the blood. So it's a very big conundrum, and I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. I would say that, you know, if I was going to make a recommendation, I would say my personal feeling is if you have a dog that you just want to kind of be sure, I would say 250 milligrams per 50 pounds of dog per day. But if you think that you have a deficiency problem, then that rate would go up to 1,000 milligrams twice a day. So to supplement a dog that you know has a problem with assimilating the taurine or keeping it or making it or whatever the problem turns out to be. And I think it's going to be, what this is going to turn out to be is about 18 different problems all coming to a head at once.
So we have two. One is a comment. Joanne says taurine blood level cost is about $125. Of course, we know that can change different places. How many milligrams did you say per 50 pounds?
Just 250. Just a supplement of food that you're pretty 250 per 50 pounds. You know, just to be on the safe side. But if you have a predisposed breed, or if your dog is having any kind of symptoms, you know, bump it up.
Yeah. And then UC Davis is $76 for blood taurine. So it there's definitely a very
good.
It's not horrible, is sort of the bottom line. The test to see if you have glyphosate in the urine runs about $90, $70 to $90, and people are
testing. Yeah, that's reasonable. So. But probably I'm going to guess that that IDEX is collecting the $150 and sending the test to Davis.
Marking it up, yep.
Okay. And then Cassandra adds a question. She has Seleukis and has raised Seleukis for a long time. And DCM does exist in some of the lines there. And so her question, she's been trying to understand if dogs can be carriers of DCM or if it's more related to the diet.
Probably both. And like I said, you know, dogs with perfectly normal taurine levels are getting DCM. That's always happened. There's a ton of DCM out there. It's only a small percentage, maybe 40%, actually have anything to do with taurine.
Mm-hmm.
So your dog can get DCM, have sky-high taurine, and it won't matter. You know, it isn't a taurine deficiency issue. DCM just happens. I am not deficient in taurine, but I have other heart problems, and that's why I have DCM. So, you know.
Now, are you supplementing your diet with taurine?
When I remember. But I do eat a pretty good diet. You know, good amounts of meat, and, you know, good meat.
And one thing I want to remind everybody, because this is bringing up some fear in people. Oh my goodness, my dog is one of those breeds. Oh my goodness, should I be worried about this? Remember that everything we talk about at the Holistic Actions Academy, we're giving you information. If you worried about every single thing we talked about, you'd be a worrywart. So this is
just a piece
of information to say, if you're feeding grain-free dog foods, you need to do some research. If, like most of you, you're feeding a basic wide variety of whole foods that aren't ground or you're grinding it yourself and being careful, here are some of the steps that you can take to increase the taurine. Feed high dark meat poultry, salmon. Make sure that if you're grinding things, or even when you're just cutting up chicken, that you keep the liquids with it. So we discussed earlier the home heart health exam. So that's something, if you have a breed that's particularly susceptible to heart disease, you can just make sure you do that on a monthly basis. You may pick something up. Don't worry. I don't want you to shift into worry mode.
Yeah, and remember, there are millions of dogs eating these diets, and a couple hundred have been affected. So this is still a very rare problem.
And let's see. Should people vegetarians be taking taurine?
Yes.
And definitely if you're doing vegetarian dog, you need to be doing taurine.
Yeah. And vegetarian, like I said, all the vegetarian dog foods have extra taurine and carnitine in them. But a couple of them have still been implicated, so...
So grains are not needed, but many animals can tolerate them, and dogs even now have a gene to help digest.
Don't get me started on that, Christina. That is total BS. We can talk about
interesting. Well, that's a good point to bring up, because since we're talking about grains, I thought they had actually in the gene sequencing had shown that dogs, not cats, had developed over the last 200 years, had developed that.
What that study showed was that out of 19,000 genes in a dog, three have to do with starch digestion. And of those three, dogs have between 4 and 30 copies, and wolves only have 2. So this is a thing where, this is epigenetics, where if the gene is needed, it's there, and your body will use it. If the dog never sees a grain, those genes will just stay dormant forever, and the dog will be a wolf forever. So that has been blown way, way, way out of proportion. They can potentially digest starch better than wolves. Does that mean starch is good for them? No. Does that mean Fritos are good for me as much as I love them? No. So I might be able to digest Fritos just fine, but I should not eat them. Okay?
Very good. Thank you, Jean. That's important.
Wow. And yeah. Nikki says that some veterinarians of the time, their clients are taurine comes from grains. Yes. Wow.
Har, 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 hearty ho, hi.
She's actually getting calls, emails, or visits from a dozen people a week that are saying their vet told them that.
Yep.
Their vet is ignorant or lying. Let's go with ignorant, because I hate to cast aspersions.
So just for clarification from me, I feel like the FDA warning went out, and that's really the only communication most veterinarians got, and they just haven't. I'm just assuming that they haven't taken the time to look into it, but they're acting like this is the biggest epidemic to hit us since I don't even know what.
Yeah, it is a significant number of dogs. I mean, but by significant, I mean like 170 dogs out of millions.
Right.
Which is nothing compared.
And we don't even know what the time frame that they're talking about. This could have been over the last 10 years. We don't know that. You know, there are two things you should know. One thing, here is what to do. facebook.com/groups/TaurineBCM, and you can go to the database there and actually look at the blood tests of the dogs that have been tested and what their numbers were and whether or not they had heart disease. Now, there's a lot that are incomplete and they haven't been tested for heart disease yet or something, but you'll see that, you know, when you look at those test results, they make not a rhyme nor reason among them. It's like, you know, I tried to find patterns, and no matter how big a Sherlock Holmes hat I put on, it's like, this does not make any sense, you know, because there isn't really a pattern, you know, because half of these dogs that are getting BCM, it's not related to taurine at all, probably more than half. And of the dogs that have low taurine, most of them are not getting heart disease. So, you know, are they making their own? Probably. But is it a breed and a line thing? Yeah. I think the FDA really screwed up, is what I think, is that they were way premature on this, and they were, on top of that, just wrong. You know, because it isn't the boutique brands. Would you like to hear the brands?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna read the. I have several in bold, and so Acana, they had multiple instances of low taurine and multiple cases of heart disease. Diamond is a manufacturer, they are a co-packer, and they make a whole lot of brands. They make 4health, Canaday, Kirkland, and Taste of the Wild. 4health brand are the ones that are most associated with low taurine and heart disease, many cases. With the Canaday, Kirkland, and Taste of the Wild, there has been low taurine, but not a lot of overt heart disease. From had a lot of problems. Low taurine, lots of heart disease. Natural Balance had half a dozen severely low taurine, but only one case heart disease. Pure Vita, they had 10 cases, 5 of low taurine and 2 with heart disease. Taste of the Wild, lots of low taurine, but only for heart disease. Signature, which is they make the kangaroo with the lots and lots of fractions, you know, the carb fractions. And they had a lot of low taurine and a dozen cases of heart disease. So those are the worst. Others that have been implicated are Blue Buffalo, California Natural, and all of those, Eukanuba, Iams, Royal Canin. California Natural, Eukanuba, and Iams have been discontinued by Mars, which is probably a really good idea for them. Canada, like I said, only low taurine with them. Earthborn, a few low taurine, a few heart disease. Hills Healthy Advantage, which has, you know, plenty of grain. Natural Balance, I think I said. Merrick, Nutrisource, Origin. No heart disease with Origin, but a lot of low taurine. I think I said Pure Vita. Purina and Proplan, several cases of low taurine. Victor, lots of low taurine. Wellness, lots of low taurine, but only one heart disease. And commercial raw food, several with low taurine and two cases of mild heart disease. And that ran the gamut. That was everybody from Honest Kitchen to, you know, it was lots and lots, every raw brand that I'd ever heard of got being somewhere along the line. So, and like I said, you can go on Facebook and find all that information. But I always, you know, if you're on Facebook, which is not always my favorite thing to have anything to do with, but this is a very useful thing. And for veterinarians, there is specifically a veterinarians group where you can get even more details. But you have to be a vet to join it. So, Jeff, Christina, get on it.
Well,
Dr. Jean, can you give us that Facebook again? It was facebook.com/group/TaurineDCM.
Groups/TaurineDCM.
Okay.
Yeah, that should get you there. There's quite a few groups now, and I will warn you that if you go on those groups, you will see massive amounts of information from people that don't know what they're talking about. That they've read one or two articles, and they're just pet people. You know, they're not professional, anything to do with veterinary medicine, but they've read some stuff and they are happy to share their opinion with you. Just go there for the raw data and don't listen to what they say, because if I were to get involved in that group, it would be a full-time job. And you know, you guys are already in a wonderful group with Christina and Dr. Jeff, and you guys, you know, just stick with the professionals that know what they're doing, because there's way too many opinions out there.
No, Dr. Jean, I was recommending raw chicken heart for taurine supplementation, and Cassandra asked about how many chicken hearts would you recommend, if any, for a 50-pounder for an average dog, for any dog?
I don't have data on that. That would be a massive calculation. Yeah. But there are places to look up online. There are papers that are freely available that tell you how much taurine in the average chicken heart. You can look that up and you can calculate it. But, you know, and you can get the AFCO data and see what the taurine requirement is for calf. I've taken kind of what I am recommending for dogs from that data, and there's going to be tremendous individual variation. And probably most of the dogs that are going to get taurine supplementation don't need it, but you know, I'm in the better safe than sorry camp. So
that's interesting, Chris. Yeah. Dean said that Dr. Stern out of the UC Davis group said to give a 70-pound dog 5 chicken hearts per day.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
No, it doesn't.
No, but heart muscle is very high in taurine. You know, and you may be starting with a dog that isn't deficient, and all you're trying to do is just keep their levels optimal.
Now, what about this thing, the Bravo Turkey turkey hearts, which you can buy in your pet stores, which Nikki may carry.
No, yeah, I would call Bravo and ask them how much taurine.
Does it say on it how much taurine is in them?
And I assume, it would be great to use hearts because they will also have the carnitine and the other amino acids that you need. So that's, you know, that is the optimal way to supplement. But if you have a dog that's been kind of running low and is, you know, ready to tip over into a crisis, I don't think 5 chicken hearts is going to do it. But I think it's a good preventive measure to do that.
And do you know, Dr. Jean, if freeze drying is going to destroy taurine?
No, they won't.
So the bottom line with taurine is it's sort of like calcium. Nothing.
It's a mineral. You can't destroy it. You can bind it, but you can't hurt it.
And what binds
it? Like the bacteria. Well, the kitty bacteria that bind it and steal it away from the kitty cat. So, you know, or boiling. If you boil meat, you know, the taurine will come out in the water and then it's gone. Baking is better. So there's a difference in how you prepare the meat versus if it's raw. And this is a many-headed octopus. It is a real mess.
However, if you boil the chicken and you feed the water that you boiled it in, the taurine is still there. Because it's not that you harmed the taurine, it's just where did it go?
Yes. So you want to
feed the whole soup.
Keep every last stray droplet.
That might be you know, something better than buying the commercial artificial taurine.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how severe the deficiency, if there even is a deficiency. How bad is it? How much, you know, how bad is the dog at making it? You know, some newfies make practically none. You know, they really need a ton of it. So, you know, there's so much individual variation, plus depending on what they've been eating and whether they're assimilating it and whether they're reabsorbing it from the gut or whether they're, you know, some other, there may be factors that nobody has thought of. You know, I've thought of probably a half a dozen factors that I haven't seen anybody else address. So, you know, it's a very difficult issue. I could just give you an answer that I can't.
Right. Dr. Jean, that brings up a question that I just thought of is how, if we look over time, over the last 50, 100 years, what's the increased incidence and heart rate overall in all the species or dogs and cats, as opposed to just because of the food causing it?
Well, you'd have to have ultrasounds from a couple hundred years ago, and that would be a little more difficult.
Well, I'm thinking more like 40 years.
It's being diagnosed more, but does that mean it's actually be occurring more, or it's just being diagnosed more, and dogs just died, and we didn't have a new one?
That's true.
You know, because remember, commercial pet food started in the 1800s, and kennels of hunting dogs were fed mostly bread and water. You know, a lot of those dogs probably died of taurine deficiency, heart failure, but no, who would know?
Mm-hmm. Also, so, a lot of those dogs
make it more complicated. Pardon me?
Many of those hunting dogs lived a long life.
Yeah, but probably a lot of them were, you know, getting to the rabbit or fox or whatever it is and drinking some of the blood before the hunters got there. You know, so blood would be the purest source of taurine if we could keep the blood, but we don't.
Right. Got it.
So one thing I didn't see, Dr. Sheen, in my research was, I know that the dilated cardiomyopathy that may develop from taurine or carnitine deficiency is very reversible. But do you know what the timeline is? How long? Let's see, you've got a clinically affected DCM dog. How long before you can see that actually reverse? Does it mean they're not severely affected?
Yeah, that's a very good question. and it raises the other point, is that a lot of these BCMs are not reversible with taurine, even if taurine was the cause. So they don't all respond. And some of them respond quickly. You know, you can see improve. You know, in a dog at death's door that you load them up with taurine, you may see them feel better in a couple of weeks. In others, it's going to take longer. It depends on the severity and, you know, and the individual metabolism. And, you know, because the taurine is going to be digested. It's going to be put in the liver, and it's going to be, the liver's going to stick it in the bile, and that's going to go to the gallbladder. It's going to get shoved out the butt unless it's reabsorbed. And, you know, so we're back at square one with, well, is the problem the taurine in the food, or is it that the taurine's not being retained or used properly or reabsorbed?
Or is it a vital force imbalance that needs homeopathy to rebalance the body?
Thank you.
Well, almost certainly that, on top of everything else.
And that is the very best thing I think that any of you guys can do if you're already feeding a raw, varied diet. Homeopathic balancing is going to help the absorption, so you don't have to worry about, you know, the bacteria. You know, if you're feeding a vegan diet or vegetarian diet, that may be a different story altogether. But, you know, the individuality is really, I think, going to be the answer, is not the taurine level, but the absorption and utilization of the sulfur-containing amino acids, which is all an individual, you know, characteristic. And as Dr. Jean has said a few times tonight, it really depends. And it depends on the individual.
Yeah, which is a really unsatisfying answer, but that's the answer.
Actually, Dr. Jean, we give that answer a lot here. We actually had a card we would hold up that said, it depends.
Okay.
On the individual.
Yes. Yeah, there's just so much, and we just don't even know what we don't know at this point. You know, I think the alarm is a little premature and probably a little misplaced, but, you know, for those of us that can be aware of it and be tracking it and at least know what to look for, you know, that's, so if you're using a commercial pet food, grain-free commercial pet food, a grain plus, whatever you're doing, if it's got more meat than plant protein, you're probably going to be all right. If it's got four or five sources of plant protein, that when you add them up, they could be rivaling or overpowering the animal protein, that's, I think, where you get into trouble with these brands, because we know that that's a very big temptation for pet food makers, is to, you know, put as little meat protein as possible, because that's where they lose profit. And even your very best down-home, heart-centered pet food company still has to make a profit. And, you know, the only person you can trust to make the food correctly is you, when it comes down to it.
Absolutely. So true.
Now, we have a couple of minutes left. I suspect we may have missed a few questions. So anyone want to repeat any of the questions for Dr. Jean or for general discussion in the last few minutes?
I'd like to, it's not really a question. I joined a 5 minutes late, so I'm not sure what DCM is. But I do have an anecdote, and I did put it into the chat, but maybe it didn't have to do with what's going on. I have a Shih Tzu. She's 11 years old. About 3.5 years ago, she was diagnosed with PRA, which leads to blindness. My holistic vet had read a study in people and asked me to put her on taurine and 3 other amino acids. And honestly, it has slowed the progression of the blindness, so she really hasn't had much difference in the past 3.5 years. She's still sees pretty well during the daytime, and I have her checked every 6 months. And I think that has to do with the taurine and the other amino acids. I haven't had any tests. I don't see. I give her a quarter of what would be a human dose. So for those who don't want to spend the money on testing and you think your dog might benefit, I would say do what I do. Get a capsule, give them a quarter of a human dose, and it's all good.
Yeah. The other thing that taurine does is it lives in the retina. And before cats were dying in the 80s, they were going blind first, and then they were dying of heart failure because blindness is the first thing you see.
Okay.
So that makes perfect sense.
And Jen asked if you mentioned 1,000 milligrams of taurine a day or twice a day for symptomatic dogs or 1,000 milligrams per 50 pounds a day.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a symptomatic dog, I'd be throwing the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah,
for
you can't really overdo it, Jen.
And homeopathy.
Well, and carnitine, and carnitine, and coenzyme Q10, and especially homeopathy, because with homeopathy, you may not need to add all the supplements because you're utilizing it better.
Right. You can use what's in the food because there should be, you know, the whole commercial pet food industry is built on this idea that they can build a better mouse or deer or whatever, but and they do a not terrible job. You know, most dogs do okay and most cats do okay. Could they do better? Absolutely. But you know, we know a lot about what they need, but when we come up against these little oddball nutrients suddenly go way out of whack, you know, then we find out, we're not so smart as we probably were.
Very good point.
And I just want to end that Dr. Christine will end this all, but this is not equivalent to the melamine. You know, this is not poison if your pet's from pet food. This is the individual absorption and use of, you know, the parts of the food. The fear, you know, we work very hard to, you know, try and, you know, improve or empower, you know, and get rid of or minimize that fear. So, you know, we don't want you guys to walk away from tonight, you know, being afraid of taurine deficiency.
Yeah, it still remains very rare.
Very rare, and we can continue the discussion in future Empower Hours if you're still concerned about it, but it's not. Most of you shouldn't run out and get the taurine test or necessarily even add taurine unless you're feeding a grain-free diet, which most of you aren't. So it's just one more thing to think about, to add into the pot, but as Dr. Jeff said, not to worry about. So I want to thank you very, very, very much, dear my friend, Dr. Jean Hovey.
Thank you for coming.
Really, really, really. Pleasure. Thank you for coming and helping us all understand this. And you can't see the chat room, but you're getting lots of thank yous. Great session from you.
Oh, good.
We really, really appreciate it. And please give my condolences to anybody you talk to around Celeste, especially Nazem. So,
He's taking it pretty hard, but we're getting to it.
Good.
It,
very so. Good. All right, right everybody. Thank you, and we will see you in another week.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks.